Okay, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
March 12, 2021 meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. It's 9:01 a.m. Thank you for joining us. For reasons due to the ongoing pandemic, we are holding this meeting online via Zoom. The presenters and people who signed up for testimony will be let into the meeting from the waiting room when your agenda item is up. And otherwise, members of the public are able to watch live online via YouTube. Please limit your testimony to a maximum of 3 minutes per person. And Board Member Gahn, would you please read our standard contested case statement?
I'll be happy to, Chair. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first, before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides to issue, then request a contested case after the decision. It is up to you. Any request must be made in writing within 10 days. If no request for a contested case is made, the board will make a decision. The department will treat the decision as final and accordingly.
Thank you very much. On today's agenda, we are withdrawing item J1 and M7. So if you are here for J1 or M7, we will not be hearing those items today. You can go about your day. Also, item C1A, we will not be hearing before 10:15 a.m. C1A will be after 10:15 a.m. First up on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the January 8, 2021 meeting. Is there any comments from the board members, Mr. Ewan?
Well, can I make briefly a comment about the withdrawn item M7? This is regard to helicopter operations at Lihue Airport, and we did ask the DOT for a report on this a long time ago, and they've written back and they've said that they needed more time, but it's been a long time.
Yes. And I think they're preparing a report.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, any other comments on the minutes? There's no public testimony on the minutes, so could I have a motion to approve the January 8, 2021 minutes as submitted?
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. And for the record, that is Case, Gomes, Char, Yoon, Yuen, Oi, and Gahn. All right, next up, we're going to go to the M items. Want to move up agenda, so let me get those folks in the room here. I don't think they're here yet, so we won't go to those first. Okay. I'm going to go to the D items.
D1.
Okay, D1 we will hear next. Okay, Land Division, are you available to start D1?
Okay. Yeah, we only got one item this morning, so it's the termination of a revocable permit and the reissuance of it to Jonathan Kamaka. I believe that's the son of the permittee, current permittee. I have nothing to add on this one. I think it's pretty straightforward.
Okay, questions?
Our units at Leo County Street are in White Bluff.
Board members, do you have any questions on this? There's no public testimony on this item.
Seems pretty straightforward to me, so I move to approve board staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, any abstain? All right, that passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay, next we're gonna do the E1 state parks.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the board meeting.
Okay, Kurt Cottrell, Martha Jens, E1, please go ahead.
Suzanne, this is Martha. I'm not sure if Kurt's on. I was here for C1.
Okay. Kurt, are you? All right. E1, please go ahead.
Okay, good morning, Chair, members of the board. Kurt Cottrell, Administrator, Division of State Parks. E1 is a consent to assign general lease number SP0453. Gina Marie Pope is signer to assignee Michael S. Wallace at lot 64 Coquette campsite lots at Waimea, Kauai, TMK 41400404040. It's a straightforward reassignment, so that's all I really have to say. The submittal speaks for itself. Mahalo.
Okay, thank you. We have no public testimony on E1. Board members, do you have any questions? Mr. Hoy.
Okay.
Yes.
How many open lots are up there with the homes that you have on?
Open lots that don't have structures that are just fallow?
Ones with structures.
Oh, I don't know offhand. There's not very many. Most of the structured lots are all assigned with leases. And we have several vacant lots that are currently non-leased that don't have any cabins on them. If we have any lots with cabins, there's only a couple, I would think. We're pretty much full up on the lessees.
Yeah, because I get some people asking, when are you guys going to open them up to auction?
Okay. I can check with prop management and get back to you on any of the vacant cabins, but there's not that many.
Honest question. What's happening with Holocore?
We just got the consummated consent decree with the Environmental Protection Agency. So we're gonna, we have two tenants up there, Camp Holocore and one other that are both subject to having to decommission the large capacity cesspools. Camp Halikoa, we did that. So we're in the process. We're probably going to do appraisals for both properties based on character of use. And then I believe both tenants are interested in building IWSs in lieu of the LCCs. So what we'll be doing is coming back before the board, but we've been waiting to go to the board on that until we finalized our legal situation with the Environmental Protection Agency. So now that we have the fines paid and we've resolved that, we can now move forward.
Okay, and other question I have, I know they were asking for extension on their lease. Would that happen?
For Camp Halikoa?
Yeah.
Well, it's premature in this meeting to really go into detail, but yes, it's generally understood that in exchange for the tenant putting in a compliant IWS, that we would renegotiate the term of that disposition and provide them, you know, an extended term to offset, you know, the cost of the IWS.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear.
Okay.
The guy that's moving on is, they've been hounding me for almost
a year. They've been contacting numerous lawmakers and whatnot, but like I said, I didn't want to bring this matter to the board until we resolve the issue with the Federal Environmental Protection Agency.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, mahalo.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, board members, on E1? All right, if not, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, any abstain? That passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to go. Thank you very much. We're going to go on to J2. So let me get Dobor in here.
Good morning, Board Chair. Carl Young, Property Manager, Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation. I'm here to answer any questions you might have regarding item J2, the Seabin project.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Board members, any questions on J2? This is the Floating Rubbish Seabin Pilot Program.
How does this actually work?
They have these bins that are mounted to the side of the piers. Yes. There's power from the pier, and then it collects debris as it just floats down the Alawai and the canal, and then goes into the harbor. And they position it at the end of the moles, and so then the debris just normally collects there and just automatically goes into the a receptacle. It then filters it, they collect it, and then they empty it. They empty it about once a week.
What I mean is, is there a suction?
No, it's just purely that it just be a little below the surface of the water naturally flows down into it. There are YouTubes of it that kind of demonstrate what it looks like. It's very clever. It just uses the natural gravity of the water. And so it just displaces it. I think that it's almost like a buoy, and it's a little lower than the surface of the water, and it just naturally goes in.
Does it cover, how far does it stick out from the end of the mole?
It's just a few feet. So it's attached to the pier, so it might stick a couple feet out.
Yeah.
If there's larger ones, I think it would stick out further, but these are relatively small. They're test pilots that can be emptied by a person by hand. If you had a larger one, you'd have to have a piece of equipment.
When I looked at the report, it seemed like it was gathering quite a bit less than they had projected.
Yes, they had projected far more, like 9,000, almost 10,000 pounds, and they're collecting close to 390.
Huh.
Right.
Any explanation of why the difference is?
No, I don't know. I didn't read through that portion. I didn't see that they had an explanation for that. Mm-hmm. Possibly just less debris at this time. It could be that you need more bins.
Is it that? Do we know how much debris is getting past there?
They're getting about 7 pounds per day per bin.
Is this stuff that is actually generated within the harbor, or is this stuff that flows down in heavy rains?
It probably comes from heavy rains, and it could be a combination of both, but we're guessing it has a lot to do with the Alawai Canal as well. Coming down from the streams?
There used to be a big boom that you would see when you walk over the Alawai Bridge that had a lot of, floating trash held behind it. Is this connected with that, or is that still there?
That's, it's still there, but it's a separate program. That's, that's through the harbor.
And we collect that periodically, the trash that's caught in behind that boom?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's all I have.
So Carl, I have a question. So given the heavy rains that we've had recently, has anybody checked it like in the last day or so to see whether or not it's gathered more stuff?
I haven't checked into that, but I can.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see whether or not, now that we've had actually a fairly major flow event with the potential for debris, whether something has come down.
Okay, any other questions? I mean, there's a lot of debris that comes down there, and I did see from the pictures that it was catching the fair amount of the smaller debris items. So that's very nice. It is clever. Okay, Mr. Ori.
Just have a comment. I think, you know, with the less that they're picking up, maybe people are more conscious of where they're dumping their rubbish. Like you have the Polo Stream entering through the Alawai, and I think it's that Moilili drainage channel. So maybe people are more conservative about throwing their rubbish into the streams, which is good.
Well, there is a large boom, right? There is a large boom that I think is still in place. That's over by the bridge that captures a lot of the larger debris, and these sea bins are set up to capture the smaller debris that floats around the harbor itself.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Less is, in this case, less is better.
That's right. And Tommy, as to your comment, we can only hope. I like that you suggest that human behavior is changing, because human behavior does need to change.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions, comments? If not, is there a motion to approve J2?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstain? That passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Mr. Young, number J3. Howard, J3.
Morning, Chair, Board members. Richard Howard for Boating. Item J3 is the sale of lease at public auction of fast lands for maritime-related activities at the Honokohau Small Boat Harbor. excuse me. This parcel is currently occupied by Atlantis Submarines on an RP. And this is one of the permits that staff identified to convert to a long-term disposition. I'd like to point out that the appraised rent per year is $6,000. And the rent that we're currently getting on the RP is $36,000. So it's gonna go down. The reason for that is when the RP was issued, the property manager used rents from GKM's improved space as comparables, rather than the dirt value of the land. And I'm happy to answer any questions if the board has some.
Okay, Mr. Char.
Yes, the I gather the appraisal is based on just vacant land. I noticed, though, that the current tenant has some improvements on the property. So who owns those shacks or whatever improvements are there? And if the lease is acquired by someone other than the current tenant, what happens to those improvements?
Okay, so the improvements are owned by Atlantis Submarine. If they are not the successful bidder when this thing goes to auction, they, at the end of their permit, they have the option to remove their improvements. If they do not remove the improvements, they become property of the state.
Under those circumstances, if they do not win the bid and the improvements then are surrendered to the state, wouldn't the appraisal then need to be reviewed because it's not vacant land anymore, it's the vacant land plus the improvements?
That I think I'd have to ask the AGs about. My understanding is that the appraisal is supposed to be done on just the dirt. You know, even when we reopen, for example, GKM's lease rent, you know, the property is improved, but we're still appraising on vacant land.
Yeah, my concern is similar to the radio antennas in Coquet. Are we going to get into a dispute on the ownership of the improvements if it goes out to lease and the current tenant is not the winner? And then secondly, if it's based on appraisal and the improvements then belong to the state, to be consistent, wouldn't there be an appraisal based on improved property rather than just vacant land?
So
I think that whole issue needs to be reviewed as we do our, even these RPs or go out to lease.
So that, you know, I think that needs to be built into the public auction terms, because there's a couple of variables in that situation as well. If the current tenant decides or doesn't, is not the winning bidder for the lease, and they decide to leave the structures or the improvements behind, the next question would be whether or not the new lessee wants the structures or not. Because if they do not want the structures, then they would have to be removed. And then the ground lease rent, which has already been, you know, appraised and which was the basis of the bid, would then be correct. If they decide that they do want to keep the improvements, then we could, you know, build into the auction package as well as the auction lease that there's the option of having a bump up in rent for, you know, for the fact that it comes with improvements. You know, in either case, we would want it to we would want the lease to reflect that at rent reopening, that the reopening rent would be based on the value of the lease with improvements. If they decide to keep the improvements on the land. So a lot of, and you are correct, a lot of that will need to be built into the auction lease that is, and the auction package that is put out for this property. So Richard, you need to work closely with the AGs to make sure that they're aware of that when we draft the public auction lease, and that that's included in the auction package.
Okay.
One other point, just as a follow through, the corollary is, you know, as we get into these RPs or leases, if there is an improvement, in addition to the tenant having the option to remove the improvements he put in, is there also a concurrent provision that the state has an option to either keep the improvements or require the RP or lessee to remove and restore the premises?
In the lease, that's what it does say in our leases. In the RPs, I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look at the RP term and the RP term for this particular property as well. Generally, our RPs are not as detailed as our leases, but that would be the standard provision for our leases, that they can either remove it, or if it remains on the property, the state can decide to keep it, or they can remove it and charge the tenant.
Yeah, so could you take a look at the RP language?
Sure.
Going forward, so that we're consistent and on all of these improvements, so we don't get into a bind again.
Yes.
Okay, any other questions, comments? That was a good point, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Mr. Ewan.
The submittal says that part of the upset rent is 5% of gross. What is the gross?
Well, that depends, I think, on who wins the bid. If Atlantis were to win the bid, they do not board passengers there. They're strictly using the moorings for their submarines, and they tow them to Kailua-Kona and load at that point. But if it were somebody else, or some kind of other operation where we could charge percentage rent, then I think it would apply. Either some kind of more retail use or something like that.
Well, the usage is limited, and this is what another question that I have. The usage is limited to support tour operations. And so my first question I had is why is it so limited? And second question, well, let's start with that one.
Well, we wanted to keep the use as close to the existing as possible. And so that's why we limited the use. We don't want to make it so that Atlantis is the only one bidding on it. And especially in light of the fact that the appraised rent came in lower than what they're paying, I think we do want some competition to bid up the rent. But we did want to keep the use similar to what is existing.
So I would note that in the submittal, the character of use is actually more broadly described. So on page 2, I believe, of the submittal, under character of use, it says marine business, light industrial and commercial storage uses allowed by the County of Hawaii zoning ordinance. So the character of use for the lease is considerably larger than just for tour operations.
Okay, thank you for that. I was going off of the heading in the submittal. So we would have industrial, well, let's see, but hang on just a second. So this is not good because, hang on just a second. I'm looking for the county zoning. I'm afraid that it's zoned open. Which is not good. I can tell you right off the bat, there's not a lot of things that are going to be allowed under county zoning ordinance. I think this is like a standard way of writing this, but and this gets us, you see, I don't think that we are actually limited by the county zoning ordinance. This gets us to this whole question of the harbors, and that I've looked into in some detail. And basically, with the short answer is that the uses at the harbors are not limited by county zoning. It just happens that these are, they're zoned open. I'm just trying to make sure, if the intent is to have it broader than just to support tour operations, then we've got to do that in a way that works for if we want to let somebody have, a little gift shop there, just to give an example, let me ask Richard, was the idea that it would be broader? Like if somebody wanted to sell sunglasses and hats and, they thought they could make a business out of it there and was that they can bid on this?
I think our thinking, and we could be wrong, that if we broadened it more than the existing, we might be subject to an EA, to doing an EA, for really, expanding the use.
I think you have to, on that question, I think you have to go back to the original approval of the harbor. And I don't think that you are, we have, let me just give you an example, okay? Within within GKM or within our other tenant down there, they switch. We sublease to different kinds of operations, you know, I think if we're going to, you know, if we're going to public auction, we shouldn't groove it, you know, and I think you said the same, that we shouldn't groove it for one tenant. And I mean, AG can jump in on this, but I don't feel that, given the fact that there's this harbor, we have a restaurant, we've had restaurants at the harbor, we have, as long as there's some kind of connection with the harbor, I think that we don't really have to worry about the EA situation. Maybe you'd chime in, Linda?
Yeah, I mean, generally if the, and I'd have to, you know, obviously someone would have to go and look at the EA, but if it's related to maritime uses or harbor uses, then, you know, it should be okay. It's already a developed area, so it's not as if you are doing new construction or new groundbreaking or, you know, anything like that. So I think as long as it's consistent with the type of use, those types of harbor supporting uses, that it should be okay from a Chapter 343 perspective.
I'm pressing this a little bit because it is such a reduction, the upset is such a reduction from what Atlantis has been willing to pay under the RP. So there's a couple of issues here. So the other issue with 343 would be new buildings. And it's possible that if somebody wanted to put up a new building, that might be a 343 trigger. However, we do have, they're small buildings, you know, are under the exempt, are potentially under the exempt list. And I probably, given the size of this lot here, even if we had a new person come in that wanted to put up a building, it would probably be on the exempt list. Another question, what does Atlantis actually do with it right now?
They have some, they do some administrative office there. Mm-hmm. They have some repair, or they have some storage there. And then I think that, I think they might do some repair work there, minor repair work.
So, but the submarines actually come up and dock right there.
Yes.
Now, right next to them, I'm thinking of who would, like going down the path of the tour operation support, a lot of the boats that operate out of Honokahau, you know, we cleaned up the situation where they had these unpermitted structures that they used in one way or another sometimes to support their tour operations. The docks that are, the piers that are right next to it, the boats that are right next to it, are those commercial boats, and do they already have their spaces under RPs next to them?
If there are any structures on the fast lands, they are covered by revocable permits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure. I think you have mostly kind of pleasure boats next to Atlantis, from my understanding. Not commercial operators.
Just, you know, like a fishing boats or?
Or somebody's private, yeah, yacht or.
Okay. Now, so getting back to the use question, and I'm thinking of amending the part of, and on AG can kick in, and whether this is simply too far to go, but I'm thinking of an amendment that takes out the reference to the county zoning ordinance as far as the uses. Does that broaden, if we said maritime harbor-related commercial uses. Does that broaden it? Are we setting up something that Doughboard doesn't want? Are we opening it? You know, I'm just going to throw out some ideas. You know, food truck, things that I don't know if they're bad, but I don't know if Doughboard is would be concerned if we said instead of allowed by county zoning ordinance, we just said a lot of maritime related activities as allowed by law or something, and you know, left it like that. Do you see any problems that we'd be causing by doing that?
I believe, was that addressed to Linda or to?
That's to you first, yeah.
Well, when we tried to do a food truck out at Moanalua Bay on an RP, we went out to comments to the city, and they said that we would need an EA, right, just for a food truck.
SMA permit.
And an SMA permit. You know, they were worried about oil being washed into the bay. And this was just a park on, you know, just the same kind of gravelly, or, you know, dirt, essentially.
Yeah. Well, is that part of a harbor?
Well, that's at our boat ramp at Moanalua Bay.
Yeah.
Moanalua Bay.
I don't know. You see, let's stay away from the legalities just for a minute, but are there things that you don't want to, like if we clarified what seems to be the intent of the character of use here, that it's includes a whole bunch of things: marine business, light industrial and commercial storage uses, and we put a period at the end of that and took out the allowed by the County of Hawaii zoning ordinance, are we opening it up to something that you would not want to see?
No, I'm open to broadening the uses and you know, thereby broadening our potential bid pool.
Yeah.
You know, what staff was trying to do here was kind of walk a really fine line, and you know, be fair to the existing permittee and also try and get as much interest in the parcel as possible.
You know what, wait, I have to complain about something here. You know, our permittees, they are, fair is, if we terminate them at the end of the year, we have not done anything unfair to them. No,
yeah,
if we use it for somebody else, because if we terminate them because we have somebody we like better for no like legitimate government reason, maybe that's unfair. But you know, and we're putting this out for auction. I'm aware
that we're not beholden to anybody, and we don't owe anybody any favors. But we were trying to keep the use the same, and at the same time open it up.
Okay. So, well, anyway, we are putting it up on an upset for much less than, you know, than they're paying.
Yeah.
And, okay. And two last things. And then AG, is that okay if we amended it to put a period after?
Yes, I believe so.
I'll be allowed. But, and then the actual bidding is against the minimum annual, right? It's not, they're not going to bid like on a percentage.
Chris, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you, you want to strike the, the use allowed for the County of Hawaii zoning ordinance? Is the word zoning the one troubling you?
Well, the whole reference to the zoning ordinance.
Well, so why don't we just strike zoning and county, just leave County of Hawaii ordinance?
Well, then it's a question.
I think, you know, if you take it out,
yeah,
then I don't know what the AGs think, but if I was there, Agatha was a winning bidder, nothing to do with the county, says the characters. We don't have to worry about the county. We can do what we like over there. And everyone say, hey, there was nothing about the, we have to follow county ordinance. But by leaving it in there, it tells them they still got to comply with county ordinance.
So our standard term of leases and I believe the public auction packet would also say that the tenants are always subject to all, to comply with all other federal, state, and county laws. And so where they're applicable, they are still required to follow. So that would include any county ordinance. So I don't think we need to state it here as part of the character of use. It would be as a general term in their lease anyway.
Okay, then why do we have to take it out of the amend this to take it out? Why do we have to take it? Why don't we just leave it? If under the lease terms that agreement, it would be in the lease, then why do we have to take it out?
Because I think the issue that Chris is raising is whether or not we are subject to county zoning ordinances at all in harbors, in our harbors, our state harbors.
But then why are you putting it in the lease if they're not subject?
No, in the lease, it wouldn't say that they're subject to the county zoning ordinance. It would just say they're subject to comply with all applicable federal, state, and county laws.
Now, let me give you an example.
I'm sorry, Chris.
The county has a liquor ordinance, and that applies. They can't serve liquor, you know, after hours. You need a liquor license, you know, that sort of ordinance applies. It's just a zoning ordinance, which limits the kinds of uses that you can make of the property. That doesn't apply within a state harbor. So I would like to do that. And
can I ask for a clarification also? When it says marine business, light industrial, commercial storage, the light industrial and commercial storage is supposed to be related to marine businesses also, right?
Right. That's correct.
So I think that could use some clarification.
It would be marine
and harbor use, including business, light, industrial, commercial storage.
Yeah, and
or business, light, industrial, and commercial storage related to marine and harbor uses.
Well, right. My suggestion would be marine related business, including but not limited to light, industrial, and commercial storage uses.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, Richard, if I got an answer. Like, I wanted to make sure that the percentage, the bid is against the annual minimum and not against the percentage. Like, you don't.
Right. So that remains constant. And if they bid above the upset, then the upset's what increases incrementally.
And then if we got somebody that was actually generating revenue on the property, like my, you know, sunglass selling concession or whatever, yeah. Then we would charge 5% against their actual sales off the property.
That's correct.
And but if they, well,
or if they sublet to somebody,
they couldn't load off. They couldn't load off this only Atlantis. Atlantis doesn't load off this property, and nobody else can load off this property as a practice.
Well, if somebody loaded off the property, I believe on the harbor side, they would charge them a percentage of that. So we wouldn't be, double charging them.
Yeah. I mean, somebody, now, I'm sorry I'm really dragging this out, but we've had a lot of issues at Honokaha Harbor. I'm trying to think, if somebody got this lease, I'm sorry, this is going to come out of left field for you, but do they get to load off of Jack's dock, off of the loading dock? Are we, remember this thing?
Yeah. You know, I think that's an operational question that maybe Megan should answer. Can we hold that one until she gets back into the room?
Yeah, because then it's worth, it could be worth a lot of money to somebody.
Yeah.
And it would work, you know, the loading dock is right there. Right around the corner.
Yeah, I'd have to ask Megan on that one. I would defer to her on that.
Honestly, from what our discussion the other time, I would say, right? We said,
if we're going to amend the character of use, I think we have to take out, you know, I did include that in order to bid, you need to have a valid permit at Honokoha Harbor. Then if they do have a valid permit, I think, is that what the criteria was?
No. I thought that we were saying that a lessee first of all, we don't want to make that a condition of bidding that you have a Honokoha Harbor permit. But I thought that our actions, either last meeting or a month ago, was that lessees, you got to load, or was this limited to lessees of Kona Marine? Got to load passengers off of the loading dock. Ed, remember, is that limited? Did we say, is that limited? That must be, no, I think it is limited to passengers of lessees of Kona Marine.
That's correct. There's
okay.
To the lessees. And then we also allowed Kona Marine to assign their one commercial permit to anybody they wanted to. Okay. And they chose to assign it to Kona Coast Skin Divers.
Okay. All right, fine. I think, I'm sorry, I went down this line of questioning because now that what you're saying is clearly right, because like lessees of GKM don't get to like also a freebie on the loading dock. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Any other questions? Board members? No public testimony. Okay, Chris, do you want to make a motion?
I make a motion to pass it with the character of use amended to be marine business, comma, and other maritime and harbor related light industrial and commercial storage uses, period.
Okay, is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Okay, any other discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, any abstain? That passes unanimously. Thank you very much. All right, we're gonna go on to the M items. So, Don Sue, are you here for the M items for DOT airports?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, if you're ready to. Okay, thanks. All right, if you're ready to go, I think what we're going to do first is M1 through 5.
Okay.
Does anyone have any questions on M1 through 5?
Don Sue, are you here for the M items for DOT airports?
Yes, Don Sue here, items M1 to 6 for DOT airports.
Okay, thank you. So M1 through 5, board members, do you have any questions on M1 through 5? If not, is there a motion to approve M1 through 5 as submitted?
So moved as submitted.
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed, any abstain? Okay, M1 through 5 pass unanimously. Okay, we do have public testimony on M6. So do you want to go ahead and present M6, Ms. Sui?
M6 is commercial use of a T-hanger for storage and maintenance of aircraft to KNS helicopters. Basically, what we're doing is we tore down the T-hangers at Kona Airport and we rebuilt new ones. In the interim, there was temporary T-hangers that we were placed in. And so now we're just putting them into the new T-hangers. That's basically what this the middle is for. They already operate at the airport and they were already operating and now we're just moving them to the new location.
Okay, thank you. Board members, any questions? Otherwise, I'm going to go to the public testimony. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Gomes.
I have questions after the public testimony, probably.
Okay. All right. First, we have Corey Hardin. I don't see Corey Hardin in the group. Next will be Bob Bruce, and I think that's this one. I'm going to ask you to turn off your YouTube if you are in the room and testifying. And unmute yourself.
Chair, I didn't hear what you said. This is Bob Ernst talking. I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, I just asked to make sure your YouTube is off in the background. But I
think okay.
Okay, so please go ahead, Mr. Ernst.
Okay, this is Bob Ernst. I'm representing HICOP, Hawaii Island Coalition, Malama Pono. And I noticed that I did submit written comments. I noticed that the permit was incomplete in that the HDOT hadn't completed their monthly rental deposit on the application, also the rental and the deposit. So the public would like to know what our public lands are being given away for, and I think that's information is important. And I don't think HDOT, Airports Division, should be making an application, nor should the chair of this committee be approving that application until it's complete. So we'd like you to take a look at that and continue this until the application is complete. We just went through a big discussion on how much money you're going to get for this property, and of course that's unavailable to us at this time. Included in my written testimony was a copy of a very recent email that HICOP as we receive from time to time. And it's written by Ben Duke. And it says, I am a teacher at West Hawaii Explorations Academy, a public charter school at Naila, south of the airport. Many of the classrooms and science projects are outdoors and helicopter noise is a major issue. He wrote, helicopter noise is a major issue. The flight pattern for all helicopters go directly over the school and interrupts instruction, sometimes more than 10 times a day. The noise is such that teaching and learning stop for a minute, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it is a lot when you add it up. I'm hoping to mobilize staff and families behind an effort to curb helicopter noise and have flight patterns change. Now, I don't think they should have to do that. I think the HDOT and Airports Division should do that. And this permit should not go forward until which time that you, our stewards, the stewards of the public land, Hawaii, are assured by HDOT and Airports Division that this interruption of helicopter noise, tour helicopter noise over these schools, and this isn't just this school, we get the same at Mountain View. We get the same at Keokaha, and this is common knowledge. You know this because we've been through this before. We had a meeting on the YML lease we asked you not to do because it's a landlocked airport and the noise is going to go into the community, but you went ahead and did it. You said, it's just a lease. Well, it's not just a lease. This is the use of public land by someone that generates a public nuisance, and this needs to be addressed, and this board needs not go forward until HDOT Airports Division addresses this to your satisfaction, that the public lands will not be used to promote a nuisance, especially over schools. I mean, don't we have enough problems with education? And here we are flying toy helicopters directly over them, which the FAA and Airports Division says do not do. I appreciate you looking at this. I would ask you not to put it forward this time because of deficiency. And I would ask you to ask HDOT and the Airports Division, you assure us that these nuisances are not going to occur when these leases are given. And you're going to have a lot more of these coming here because I looked at all the T-hangers that are evidently still vacant. This is only a small portion of them. So more is going to be coming forward. This needs to be, it needed to be addressed 60 years ago, but it needs to be stopped. It needs to be addressed. And this teacher is going to be told.
Thank you, Mr. Ernst. Can you wrap up your testimony now, please?
I thank you. Mahalo and aloha.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Corey Hardin.
You are muted. You need to unmute.
Look on the bottom left of your screen. There should be a mute button. Bottom left.
There you go. Technology strikes again. So, okay. Good morning, board members. Thank you for listening to our testimony. I'm on the helicopters M6. Please require an environmental assessment to evaluate and mitigate hazards and noise from Paradise helicopters before you approve this permit. Over the years, noise and vibration from helicopters has increasingly bedeviled residents, but there's been repeated and widespread concerns voiced by beleaguered communities, and these have just been ignored. The noise terrifies children and animals. It sets off PTSD in war veterans. Intrudes on people's sleep, it interrupts your conversations, and it causes inescapable stress. On our island during the eruption, the tour helicopters never let up. They kept flying over people who were losing their homes and their neighborhoods and their livelihoods. The State Department of Transportation says the helicopters are covered under the old environmental assessment for Kona Airport, but that EA is 8 years old. And note that in the past 10 years, the number of reported tour operators has more than doubled. The EA is getting outdated. And just in the past year, 21 people died in 3 tour helicopter small aircraft crashes at Kailua, Dillingham Field, and Kauai. The EA's noise exposure map and written discussion only cover a small area around the airport. They don't think about the numerous homes that tour helicopters fly over. Paradise wants a revocable permit. That means no in-depth review of impacts. And also the lease amount is not specified. DOT could add whatever it wants to the permit. And there's no requirement apparently for DOT to ever come back to you guys to review of the permit. I mean, are you really gonna let this happen with state lands? It appeared the helicopter facility needed a conservation district use permit or a land use district boundary amendment and a special management area amendment. Were these obtained and what are the conditions in them, if any? I really hope that you folks will think about your responsibility to protect Hawaii's people and its natural, cultural, and historic resources. It's like all officials are just looking the other way. And this really needs to be addressed. So please require an EA and thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Next up is Domino Cone. And you want to take it off of mute. There you go.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Domino. I'm here on behalf of KNS, DBA Paradise Helicopters. And I just want to say that, as Don mentioned, we submitted this request to the airports because we moved to from our permanent hangar that has now been demolished due to the construction at the airport to a temporary hangar, and now they're opening up for applications back to the permanent T hangars. So we're not asking for anything outside of what we were already operating with. We're just looking for that lease so that we can move out of the temporary hangars. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board members, that's all the testimony we have. So questions? Mr. Gomes.
Chair, I have a question.
Yeah.
Can we do anything about the noise or the flight patterns? Is there any options for us as a board that can implement something like that? I'm just curious.
No.
Go ahead.
So, this is an area. So flight patterns and regulations regarding aircraft are overseen by the FAA, and they have exclusive jurisdiction for it. There's been numerous bills that have been introduced to the legislature regarding these types of issues, and I think consistently our advice has been that, or our testimony has been that, FAA has to a large degree, they regulate exclusively in this area, and that the state cannot regulate on those sort of issues.
Do you know
Mr. Gomes, can I just add that the FAA seems so far to have declined to address the issue of overflight of helicopters, flight paths, nuisance to neighborhoods, and the like. So although the state is saying it doesn't have jurisdiction, the FAA has jurisdiction. The FAA so far has declined to exercise it in order to address the issues that are being raised here.
Do you know what's the reason why the FAA has not answered?
I'm not aware of any reason.
I'm not either.
Because, I mean, this has been going on forever. We've always had these complaints, but it seems that it has never been totally addressed to satisfy the community or residents or neighbors or businesses or schools. I think we should see if we can resolve or implement something or ask FAA for some guidance to appease these people who are complaining all the time.
I have a comment.
I mean, I would tend to agree. I just think we don't know what that mechanism might be. So, Mr. Ewan?
Well, I think, you know, I accept what the AG has said, that we are here, we, as board members, you know, we have certain powers and authority, and we have authority over, the DOT needs our consent to permit the tour company to use the space, but we are not supposed to use our authority to leverage changes in their air operations. And I respect that opinion, and I'm, as a board member, I have to abide by that. While I'm sitting here as also a person, I have to say that I have a lot of sympathy for the comments that we've been getting over and over again about these, and that the tour companies, they may not need to be concerned about the BLNR's power over the, such as it is, over this leasing of space at the airport to curtail or limit their operations, but they need to take these things very seriously. There's no business that can have these kinds of complaints and it not someday cause them a big problem. And there's just one probably tour operator listening to this right now, but these are not crazy people that are they're people that happen to be in the flight, they're different than the ordinary public. You know, it doesn't, tour helicopters, I see them flying, you know, relatively, I see them around where I am, but they're not close enough to bother me. But these are not crazy people. they're bothered by these operations. And that's all I have. Just one question. Okay, so the appraisal, you know, we don't have the appraisal. Is there a minimum? Can you give us what are they paying now? Is it going to be more than that? Can you give us a minimum that it would be? And when you get the appraisal, there are others that are going to come back to us, and you'll have the appraisal, and we'll see those, or are they all going to come in and say, I mean, I want to see, you know, at some point, what these look like.
I believe the appraisal is almost done. Is that correct? The appraisal is almost done. Based on what I have seen, I would think that the rent would be more than what they would pay in their old tea hangers, but I haven't seen any paperwork yet. But once we get the appraisal and when we do new submittal, the rent from the appraisal will be put into the submittal.
Okay. What are they paying now?
Currently, I would have to go. I'm not sure right now. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Two things. When you get the appraisal, it'll be retrospective to the date that the new RP starts, right?
Well, actually, we are not in the spaces until the appraisal is done. We will not put anybody into the spaces until the appraisal is done and we can get all the paperwork executed and done.
Okay. Can we say that they will pay a minimum of their current RP amount on the appraisal? And if the appraisal for some reason turns out lower, you can bring it back and we lower it, you know, if it's unfair to them. I mean, rather than saying nothing, you know, rather than completely leaving it open what they pay.
Well, we can't put it on because we're working on fair market value and the appraisal is almost done. So what you're asking is for us to put a rate in? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, maybe. AGs, what do you know?
I mean, we'll base it on fair market value. So.
Can AGs, can we say that they pay the greater of their current rate or the appraisal?
So they can't put that in as a term of the lease. So the new RP. So when they issue the new RP, it will have the rate, which will be whatever their appraisal comes out. I think maybe the better way to do it might be to say that if their appraised amount is lower than what they are currently paying, that you'd like them to bring it back to the board.
Okay. I'll take that as a suggestion and I might ask for that amendment.
Okay.
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Oi. You're on mute.
Don, you know, you just said that nobody would be put into, you know, like this submittal is a revocable permit to move them to a new area, and you just said right now nobody would be moved into the area until the appraisal is done. So why are we doing this revocable permit at this point?
Because it takes so long for the process to get all the approvals and documentation. So we're working on the applications prior to putting them in the space so we can get everything ready, so when the new tea hangers are ready to be moved into, it'll be, the paperwork will be ready to move them in.
Because the three testifiers had a concern about the appraisal. Yeah? So
yes.
shouldn't we defer this till you get the appraisal?
Well,
They're operating at the airport already, correct?
Correct. They're operating in temporary tea hangars. So we're just
It would be at the temporary tea hangars until the appraisal is done and get all your paperwork together, correct? So it's not really necessary to approve it at this point.
But I think it would be in the best interest to get everything ready so that when the tea hangars are ready to be moved into, everything will be put in place, and we'll just need to, once we get the appraisal, we can add it to their contract and put it in place.
Yeah, I think what it, the way this is set up is they're requesting our approval to go ahead with this at a price which is going to be fair market value.
Correct.
Appraised fair market value. We don't have that final figure here, but it theoretically won't be less or more, although Chris wants to add something saying if it's less than the current rent, it would come back.
Okay, but you know what I
thought. It's the external standard. It's like reference to the standard rates. It's an external reference to a. It just the actual figure isn't finalized yet.
So in that case, Chair. Could you, if the three testifiers are still here, would they be okay with Chris's amendment? Then we can move on.
I don't think that's the issue that they've raised. They've raised a different issue than
because if we don't have any control over flight path, then the only thing we control is the appraisal.
We don't control the appraisal either. We control the appraisal process.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, you know.
So, I mean, if Mr. Ewan wants to make that amendment, it would be not less than the current rent. Otherwise, it would come back.
Yeah, I'm going to make that amendment. I think sometimes we do put things out pending appraisal. Often we have take the public auction that we had a few minutes ago. We don't actually know what we're going to get, but we do have a minimum. So my amendment would be to approve this with the clause that DOT brings it back if the appraisal is less than what they're currently paying on a per square foot basis.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and make a motion?
No, that's my motion. Okay. Yeah.
All right, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Further discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Any abstain? I oppose. Pardon
me, you're opposed. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. That motion passes as amended. I'll come back if the appraisal comes out less than the current RP.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a good weekend. Board members, we're gonna go on to M8. I don't think we have somebody from DOT Highways on this one. So I'm gonna ask if anyone has any questions about it. If you have questions, I'll try to track down somebody from DOT Highways. If you don't, we'll go ahead and vote on it. There's no public testimony. Sorry, Tommy, you are on mute. Did you move to approve?
Move to approve.
Second. Okay.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Second.
Aye. Any opposed, any abstain? That passes unanimously. Thank very much. All right, we're going to switch to the last section, which is the C items. So if you will hang on just a little bit.
I start at 4 o'clock, right?
Thank you.
Okay, David Smith, item C, C1.
Okay, looks like we're good. Okay. Good morning, Chair and Board members. David Smith, Administrator, Division of Forestry and Wildlife. Today we're coming back with our annual review of grants from the Land Conservation Fund that have been pending for over 5 years. We have four grants that we want to consider today, present to you for possible action. The first one is this Ulupo Heiau buffer grant. It's been going on for a number of years, but we have been making progress on it. It's an important acquisition for us in terms of managing Kauinui Marsh generally and Ulupo Heiau State Park area. Specifically. It's kind of complicated because there's some easements, drainage easements and stuff that we've had to work through. But they've been making progress on it. And our recommendation is going to be to defer it and let us continue to work on that. The second grant to be considered, this was something that came before the board last year, the Hakipu'ulo'i Kalo acquisition. And last year the board deferred it for a year because we're still working on it. This year we closed. So it's just kind of a wrap up and just let you know that that one that we had considered last year is since closed. And that's a great acquisition for a property that'll be held by a nonprofit and, educational Lo'i community kind of thing. So really nice project. The third project today is Kokua Kli Valley, the Ho'ula'ula project. And that's been going for a long time. We met with them up there a year or so ago, a little more than a year ago, and they were still pushing on it, but they've since requested that we discontinue the award. It just it doesn't look like it's got a path forward at this point, and so we're recommending that we discontinue that grant award, and hopefully we can circle back and revisit it sometime in the future. But right now it doesn't seem to have a path forward. The last one is the Kulu'anono at Waipa project that was originally approved by the board in 2015. But then we entered into a contract with the Waipa Foundation in 2017. So that kind of resets the 5 year, but we just wanted to bring it back because it's, you know, it's been, you know, 6 years or so since it was approved. But this one seems to be moving too. It's, you know, it's a pretty heavy lift, but it's still going. And, you know, with the 5 year thing being reset, you know, we feel kind of like it's been reset in 2017 with the contract. So we'd like to continue on with that project and see if we can make that go. So that's the four projects. And, yeah, I think the one we're thinking of is the discussion or decision-making one is Ulupo. We're still working hard to complete this transaction and think that we can, you know, think that we've got some traction now and that we can finish that one off. And that'd be an important one, I think, for state parks and for our access and management of Kauinui Marsh generally. And a lot of it'll be like community interaction. There's a lot of things going on at Ulupo with community groups coming in there and restoring the area. So it's important for them to have access. There were some I saw a little bit of pushback on the parking, but I think we can work something out, you know, to help out the YMCA if we need to on the parking situation. But it was subdivided so that we could purchase this particular property. And something we've had on our radar screen for many decades. So the department feels like it's an important project to continue on with. So we're asking to defer action on that, on the Ulupo buffer one. And if you have any questions, we have staff here to answer questions and appreciate any feedback.
You know, I have, I've been to the Ulupo site many times and over the years have watched it blossom into something pretty amazing with regard to rejuvenation of Hawaiian agriculture and use by community. I really do want to see this thing continue. And so I agree with Dave Smith's recommendation that we continue our to work on this and
okay,
allow.
Okay, I'm not getting you here. Hold on.
If there are comments from Kurt or Martha, that would be great to hear as well.
Martha, you have anything to add? I think Dave pretty much summed it up.
Yes, aloha board and Chair Case, Martha Yent, State Parks. I think the key hurdle of the subdivision, which occurred last October, really sets the stage for us to be able to move forward with the due diligence. Our goal is to complete the acquisition by the end of 2021, foreseeing any things that might come up. But you know, it has been a long time. The YMCA has needed time to address the parking, as Dave Smith mentioned. They feel like the acquisition will give them the funds to take the steps they need to do to resolve their issues. So hopefully this acquisition's a win-win for everyone. So yeah, thank you for your consideration of a deferral.
I have a question though for Dave with regard to the very last item, the Waipa situation. That one requires no action from us. You're saying that because of the clock reset at 2017, we have the luxury of a couple more years?
I think so. I mean, you guys can, the board can decide how they want to treat that. That was our sort of internal discretionary call on that. But it has been, you know, it was 2015 when it was originally approved. There has been movement since. You know, you could consider that one as well or defer it as you see fit. We did get a reset in 2017 showing some action. And so we're under contract. We're really trying to make that thing happen. So, you know, if the board wants to approve continuing on with that, that's fine as well.
Well, I've been to Waipa a number of times as well, and that is another one that I consider an important community-based co-management project. And yeah. So I would say, to remove all ambiguity, that the board affirms our desire to continue with that project as well.
Okay, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, any other questions? There is no public testimony on this.
So I'd like to make that motion to thank the division for the updates on those projects, and in particular for Ulupo and for Waipa to continue moving forward on those items as suggested by the staff.
Hey, I have to put a pause in here. So on the agenda, I believe the Waipa was listed as information only. So the board cannot take any action on that particular one at this time. Again, I note that Dave Smith said that no action is needed on that one at this time.
All right, thank you. I will amend my motion then to take action only on Ulupo, but note for the record that the board agrees with Dave Smith's assessment of the situation at Waipa.
That's a skilled board member statement. All right, is there a second to that?
Second.
No. Okay, second. That's a second. All right, any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstain? All right, thank you very much. That passes unanimously.
Thank you.
As amended and with comments. All right, thank you to DOFA and all of the applicants for all of your hard work on these projects. They're great projects. They're projects everybody loves, and we want to see them all the way through to completion. And that, board members, brings us to the end of our agenda. We're having a day that makes up for other days, so we can enjoy it while we have it. Probably won't be the same next time.
Take it. Just
comes and goes. We'll try to keep it even out, but for now, we'll just enjoy having not only the rest of the day, but the rest of the morning.
Are we going on Thursday in 2 weeks?
Yes. Our next board meeting is on Thursday, March 25, because Friday is a holiday.
Mm.
Thank you for that reminder.
Thank you for the reminder.
Okay.
Everybody, mahalo.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.